Good evening. Before we get started tonight, I have two things I need to make clear. One is I want to say again, thank you all very much for the gift we received on Wednesday. And I want you to know it was very generous and appreciated. And anytime y'all want to make a money card for us, you have my permission. That's fine. But it was really generous. Thank you very much for that. And it was very kind. The second thing was, I, this morning, misspoke. You know, when you get up in front of people, sometimes your brain just short circuits. Right, Brett? Right. And that happens. And so this morning I said I had fever this morning. I did not. I wouldn't have come to church had fever this morning. But I had fever yesterday morning. I don't want to shake hands because I didn't want to risk it. But like I said in the sermon, or before the sermon, that I grew up with the idea that if you have fever, stay home. And I've tend to done that maybe a few times. Elders maybe wish I hadn't, but you don't want to make people sick, right? And so appreciate them very much. And I wanted to thank you all for the gift again. And I wanted tonight to very briefly talk about what we're very good at as people. We're good at making up reasons not to do stuff. Sometimes we call them excuses. Right, Leroy Brenlow, y'all know the name probably. He was a fellow who's written some well-known books in the church. I think one is Reasons Why I'm a Member of the Church of Christ, I think. But he was the preacher of the Polytechnic congregation in Dallas. And they were a fast-growing congregation, I think in the 50s and 60s. I may have the time wrong on that. Regine may be able to correct some of that. But I know that they grew so fast and so quickly, they planted like 8 congregations around Dallas. They would grow to a point where the elders said, okay, let's take our membership that's grown and let's try and plant a congregation over here so you don't have to drive as far to come to Polytechnic. And so he was a very well-known preacher, wrote a lot of books, and he was very well respected. One time he was asked why more people don't come to Christ. And this was a man who baptized untold numbers of people. And he gave this response I really liked. He says, well, he had a way of saying things. He said, well, there are some too busy to bother. There are some too clever to come. There are some too worldly to want to. And some are too proud to pray. And I liked his answer, so I wanted to share it with you. But we're very good at having sometimes reasons or excuses not to do what we know we should do, or at least what we feel like is reasonable to examine further. Now, Jesus focused on this problem when he told a story of 3 men that emerged with empty reasons for not accepting the invitation Jesus gave. Now, he drew a picture of these men, of these consequences, and they rejected the invitation, and they too would also be rejected as they gave him. For example, look, if you would, at the text in Luke 14, verse 16 and following. Luke 14, 16 and following. He says unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden or invited, come, for all things are now ready to this great supper. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, verse 19, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, those that wouldn't normally be invited. And the servant said, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now I want to talk to you about these three men who gave these three excuses. For example, the businessman's excuse was, my wealth, verse 18. He was the one who said, I have bought a piece of ground, I must need to go see it, and I pray have me excused. Now, that was a very common thing. I mean, if you bought a piece of ground, you might need to go see it, you might need to inspect it, you might need to make plans to how to use that land. That is a legitimate thing to do. But it's not legitimate to put that above the invitation that was sent by our Lord, was it? Many of the things, see, the things that trip us up sometimes aren't the things that are sinful things. I mean, they aren't like, I need to go rob a bank, or I need to do some horrible thing, or give in to some terrible lust. No, I'm going to take things that are good to do, that are okay to do, but I'll pull those things above the Lord. That's the problem. These things are things that are needful, but not above the Lord. And that's where the rub comes in. Verse 19, the working man's excuse, my work. We had the businessman's excuse, my wealth. Now we have the working man's excuse, my work. Verse 19, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray have thee me excused. He had stuff to get done. I mean, who knows? Maybe these oxen had worked the land the last man talked about. But again, work's important. It's good to be a good businessman. It's good to be responsible and have people trust in your word that you'll get the thing done when you say you get it done. It's good to be honest and productive, but not above the Lord. When should work come above the Lord? Never. Now, did Jesus say there are times when there's an ox in the ditch when it talks about unexpected things that pop up at the last second that are very important? Yeah, that happens. But again, if a man has an ox that keeps getting in the ditch, what do you do? You fill the ditch or sell the ox, right? If you have things that pop up all the time like that, you fix the problem. You don't just put those things above other needful things again and again and again and again. You don't do it. Then we have verse 20. And another said, I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come. That's a family man's excuse. My wife. We have my wealth, my work, and my wife. Now, does a man need to take care of his bride? Does a man need to make his family a priority? You better. Is it important to put one's family's needs ahead of their own? Yes, but not ahead of Christ. Right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, how can you have a happy marriage if both people put God first? Because if we put each other first above all things, that can lead to trouble in that one person maybe thinks the other person puts them more first than the other, something else, or they think they're doing that more than they should, or they're putting themselves first or their other partner first, but they're not. But if you both agree to put the Lord first, we'll be the best spouses we can be. That's the key. My wealth, my work, my wife. How often does family get in the way of serving God? My grandfather was not a New Testament Christian, but he went to church every time the doors were open. In fact, if you went to his house and you went to visit on holidays, he would go to church. And if you're at his house, he'd let you know that at this time we're going to go to church. He says, if you don't want to go, you can wait outside till we get back. But I'm going to lock the door, and he did. I saw him do it. What happens, people would just go and come back. But he just didn't care. He was very kind and very nice and a very principled man. He said, we're going to church. You're welcome to come. If not, we'll be back in an hour. I'm going to lock the door and secure the house. He wasn't a Christian, but he followed some biblical principles that were pretty impressive. And again, he was nice about it. He wasn't a mean guy. But he didn't let family get in front of serving God. Well, I think of that because this time of year, so many people put being with family over serving the Lord. Now, I know you can do both. I know you can go visit family on holidays and still attend worship and serve. I know. But how many don't? This isn't a chastisement. It's a reminder for us that we don't put our wealth, our work, or our family in front of God. Love your family. Be with your family. But make sure you don't forget God in that. Now, Queen Elizabeth II was born in 1926. That makes her, by my math, 95 years old this year. I guess it's going to be 96. Now, when she was to be crowned, there was an invitation sent out of all those subjects chosen to be present for the occasion of her coronation. The invitation was sent to peers of the realm, members of the government, to representatives of the common people. But every invitation sent had this in it: all excuses ceasing. Invited them to the coronation, all excuses ceasing. That meant be there. You're being invited to a royal coronation. You be there. And the excuse given, or the reason given for that, was when royalty issues an invitation, it is no ordinary matter. It's a command. And the Lord's gospel invitation is a command to make an excuse is nothing short of a kind of rebellion. Now, I know the English government, the kings and queens are no longer the ruling party. In fact, they're no longer in charge that way. But there's still this fascination, especially back 100 years ago, with the royal family and the things they did. And they had more control then than they do now, of course. But it brings me to this point. No one has the right to die lost. I want to say it again. No one has the right to die lost. Now, don't get me wrong. They have the ability, but not the right. You have the ability to die lost. You have the ability to reject the gospel and Jesus and die lost, but you don't have the right. Now, what that means is, maybe, if I snuck up on Brett, I could poke him in the eye. But I wouldn't have the right. If you didn't see me coming, I might get it done, but I wouldn't have the right to do it. It would be wrong. I don't have the authority to do that. I can't just poke him in the eye, even though I have the ability to. It's like that with the gospel. No one has the right to die in rebellion to the one who made all things. We can choose to do it. And we'll even suffer the consequences, like these men who rejected the invitation to the supper. Because remember what the master said, what the inviter said, what the master of the feast said? That none of them bidden, they gave an excuse. He said, well, taste of my supper. That's a consequence of rejecting the invitation. And the subjects, they shouldn't have done that. One person reflecting on Matthew 11:28 said this. In Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now, this is a short lesson. Don't be shocked. We've come to the end of it, pretty close to it. But this was a point I picked up somewhere, and I wanted to include it here. It was in the margin of the notes I made for the sermon I wrote. Where God's placed a period, don't try and replace it with a question mark. Where God's placed a period, don't try and replace it with a question mark. When we make excuses, we are doing that same thing. We are making commands and adding a question mark to it. Obey me. Question. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Question mark. Sing to me in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with grace in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16. Question mark. Worship me upon the first day of the week. We're to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Question mark. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Question mark. There are no question marks in those places. And we have the ability to change that, but not the right to change it. We can refuse the invitation. We can be too clever to come or too busy to be bothered. And we can refuse those invitations God gives us. I mean the things in Scripture we see and see the invitation. Maybe even we can look at the opportunities that are unwritten. How many times have you or I been in a situation where we have an opportunity and it occurs to us, I have an opportunity here to do a thing. I have a window to do something God wants me to do. Well, it passes by. Maybe because we're too busy or too bothered by something else. Let alone the written commands of Scripture where we say, okay, I need to take that. I need to mold my life to be more like Scripture. I know that there are many things that get in the way. But people try and take the Scripture and mold the Scripture to their life and say, well, I'll do this, this, and this, but I don't know about these other things. I want to try and make the Scripture more to fit my life when what we should do is let the Scripture complete us. To make us perfect or complete before God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, to make us complete, to make us perfect. We take our lives and fit them to the Scripture so we can be more like Jesus. As both the Colossians and Ephesians tell us, that we can walk worthy of the gospel, walk worthily of the gospel. What's your life look like in Christ? It looks like a life that doesn't make excuses or makes as few excuses as possible. Looks like a life that doesn't take a period and put a question mark there. Because remember, we all have the ability to reject, but not the right. But not the right. Now that's the idea. That's what I want to talk about tonight. But friends, I want to end the lesson by making a plea. The plea is that we double our efforts to simply try and be what God wants us to be. You might say, Jim, we do that all the time. Every day is like that for me. Awesome. But I know I need to remind myself from time to time and the idea that, listen, I can do better. I can be more. I can make fewer excuses. I can love people more. I can be a better man for my family and for my God. We all need to sometimes remind ourselves of that. And I want to remind you that we all can be better. Not out of a sense of shame, but that we all have the ability to grow and change for the better, don't we? Because we're not perfect. It may surprise you, but I'm not flawless. Neither are you. And so let's all do what we can to help the kingdom grow by being the best we can be. And as we go to the new year coming up in a few days, that we ask ourselves, are we those who make excuses? Are we those who try and answer the call to be what God wants us to be? Friends, if you have a need tonight to ask for the prayers of the church, this is your opportunity right now. If you have the need to respond to the invitation, maybe you want to obey the gospel or be restored. If we can help you, would you please come as we sing this hymn?